Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
I want to talk about something which on today is really important, because when it comes to Father's Day, can I be a wee bit cynical to start? Would that be all right? Is it okay just to be a wee bit cynical? It struck me this week, right? Now, today we celebrate dads and we celebrate fatherhood. And it seems to be for 364 days of the year, then we kick the tripe out of it, doesn't it? I mean, no. Maybe not in the church, but the world is absolutely bonkers about fathers. In fact, the prevailing spirit of the age right now, okay, is that does every child need a father? Well, probably not necessarily. That's the truth of it. You know, not really. There's a maybe. You know, the kids will do fine if they don't have dads. Well, I want to be really careful this morning about how we treat this. But there is something about a revelation of Jesus and a revelation of God this morning which will help us all on Father's Day. And it's actually against the spirit of the age. You know, kids, today we're being told that actually dads don't really matter. If you actually look sometimes at how dads, you know, even how kind of woke capitalism, this is my new thing, I'm gonna rally against this kind of woke capitalism, do you know what I mean by that? Where like businesses are jumping onto every kind of social agenda of the day. And like there's this whole thing of help, just, you know, men don't really know it. Look at the last Gillette ad, you know, let's help men to be better. And this kind of scathing thing about men, you know, even this week on, I was watching the news report and something had happened, but it was basically all men are just kind of rubbish. I thought, no, hold on, your experience does not get to determine men, all right? And certainly does not get to undermine what God says about father. And today of any days, it's not like we have to, you know, as the church, we don't back down on this and we don't go, well, we're kind of ashamed and like the world's kind of got it right. No, they don't. They've got it completely wrong. And actually for all of us, whether you have your dad today or he's gone, whether you never had a dad today, or I want to speak into and give you a revelation of Jesus today. Because fatherhood and Father's Day is not just one day out of 365. Actually, it is the foundation, I believe, of how God orders things in the world today. Do you get me? Absolutely, 100%. If we go right back to the beginning, the actual word father in Hebrew is two words, aleph and bet, okay? Aleph is the first word. It means strength and it means authority. And what we see in the first word of the Hebrew alphabet, aleph, is the first word of, it's vata, or again Hebrew, but it's aleph. The second word, bet. Bet means a tent or a home. It means a dwelling. Now, that's what the picture is of bet. And then you have the meaning of bet behind that is to means to help, or it's about distinction and helping is the broad sense of the word. So what you actually have in father right from the beginning is a strength and authority in the house. You get that? Now, this is the heart of God. This is not my interpretation. This is what it means in the language. And so for us, I've said to you time and time again this year, when you come under the authority of Christ, when you come under his authority, when you build your life and your faith and your world, not peripheral to the church, but in God's house, then there is safety and protection and blessing and favor for you. And it's exactly the same. It's the picture of God being the father of the house, the church, is exactly the same then as what happens with fathers in the home. Isn't that right? But flip me, we're getting knocked sideways every way when it comes to this. I want to give an unequivocal yes to say that I believe every child does need a father. And I say that the church, where the church is, that means you and me, folks. We are there to demonstrate what it means to be father in a world where they really don't know what it's like. I'm going to just talk at the end about grace for fathers, because God knows we need it, don't we? Flippin' Nora. And it's interesting. Let me say today that sometimes when we even hear the word father, I'm saying it's aleph bet, okay? Strength and authority in the house. So the father is the head of the home, is the one in the place of authority. Now here's where all the complementarians and egalitarians will go bonkers, all right? Don't get things out of God's order. It doesn't mean one better than, it just means about order. All right? It's really important. I'm not going to go too much into that today, but we get this sense of, you know, sometimes when we talk about father, we hear this kind of angry word, don't we? It's almost like, you know, the father was so angry. He was like, just, he couldn't wait to beat us all up, kind of do this cosmic number on us. And then he sends Jesus because he just couldn't hold himself back. At some point, father's going to come and knock your melt in. So he better send his son, and his son stands in the way. So Jesus is love, but the father's kind of scary because we needed Jesus to mediate between us and him. But can I just say that before the Father sent the Son, in John 3:16, one of the most famous verses of them all, it says, because he so loved you. So when we see strength and authority, we cannot disengage it from a heart which is absolutely loving. Do you get that? Absolutely created and bound in love. In fact, 1 John 4, it says that theos, God, este, is love. It's not just that he does loving things. It's not just that every now and again he will provide love. It's like you cannot separate Father from love. Because every time in the Word of God, when you see strength and authority over the house, it doesn't actually disengage from the fact that he is love itself. He doesn't do loving things, he is love. He doesn't provide love, he is love. He doesn't borrow love, he produces love. He is not bound by anything but love. That is the Father. And you know what? He so loved you. He so loved you. Somebody say amen. He so loved you that he gave his son. All right? And what we see, I'm going to tell you why I think this is really important, because when we know of God through our experience, but also by who he reveals himself to be. And this is why when we look at Father today on Father's Day, you know, I'm not against preaching Hebrew names. In fact, I've done it. I think it's brilliant. In the very beginning in Genesis 1, Elohim, God the creator, isn't that right? And then we see all these other names of God coming, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, Rophe, our healer, Nisi, our banner, all right? And so what we find is all these names of God are revealing different bits of him. And it's interesting when you go right back to the beginning, before Jesus comes, before God sends his son, he's at different stages revealing himself, okay? And revealing what he's like. He's revealing, this is how I will love you. This is how I'll protect you. This is how I'll provide for you. This is, I am the creator. But what's really interesting, right? When Jesus comes, he only revealed one name. And the name that he revealed was Father. So with all of these names that come before, all of what we know about God, Jesus reveals Father for the first time in completeness. I don't know if you're aware of that. And what he says is this. It's like, you know, actually in John 14, 9, it says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So there is this sense that all that is revealed in the Old Testament about God and all of those things that he does for you. So see, when you need something, we go, Jehovah Jireh, you provide. Jehovah Rophe, you're my healer. And this is why sometimes I get a wee bit kind of funny about people who can take a little bit of something and then make a whole ministry out of it, okay? Because when Jesus comes, he goes, like the Father revealed different bits at different times, but then Jesus comes, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen it all. Do you get that? That's why I love Under Grace, because it puts Jesus right back to the center. And in that place, what we see is the Father revealed. So there's this sense that everything that you need from a Father, look to Jesus and you see him revealed perfectly and completely. Not just one little bit that you needed from the old, not another little bit, but everything unfolded in one go. And it's interesting that just be aware that the battle that we face and the battle that you are engaged in today is not flesh and blood, it's spiritual, right? We understand that. It's principalities and powers. And it will undermine the strength and authority in your life in the place where you're planted. This is why we need dads particularly to get a sense, not just if I pay the bills and I run around like a taxi at the weekends, all right? But actually my first place, first and foremost, is the spiritual head of my home. I am the one that God has given strength to. I'm the one that God has given authority for, authority to. And in that strength and authority that comes from God himself, then my home and those within it are strong and protected. And that's why we need Jesus. We need Jesus because there's no way that we can do that on our own, right? We need that full revelation that we see in him. Now, the one, Adam actually said it earlier on in Romans 8:15, says, now you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba, Father. So in the old, it's Aleph Beth, the strength in your house. And then when we come to the new, it's this word Abba. Now you know that that's a word of intimacy. Isn't it interesting that through the whole of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't allow the translators to translate this as anything other than Abba? Because actually the word that was spoken was patere, which means father. And you'll see Jesus uses that word at some point. He says, you know, if you've seen me in John 14:9, you've seen patere, the father. But then when he talks about your place under sonship, he says that under as a son, you have a daddy. You have a dad. And what's interesting for me is that it's that tender endearment of a beloved child, affectionate, dependent relationship with their father. And it's the most intimate way that you can approach him and live with him. It's like my kids saying, daddy, I love at the minute, right? I've been keeping Sophie going because she's dead broad. I don't know, she gets it after her mother. But like yesterday we were sitting eating breakfast and she went, daddy. And I looked around and went, who the flip? Who was that? Daddy. And I went, hey. And well, we chuckled and I said, daddy. And we have this thing. And I said, why did you call me father? And sounding almost Victorian, like father. And she was going, father, can I have another crepe, please? And all this kind of stuff. But it's so interesting for me that, you know, for her and for my kids, it's just about daddy. If I said, am I sit down? No? Okay. And just when you're laughing, I think, when you're speaking publicly, can I just, if somebody laughs like that, you automatically go, my zip must be down. So I'm just going to help you out. Crepe. What's wrong with crepe? Crepes, they're French things. Do you not have those in Liverpool? Oh, sounded like I said something else. No, big pancake. How's that? All right. Dear me. So the thing is, big rowdy crowd in the day, isn't it? So we were having pancakes. Father, you've made me lose my track. Now, but what's really interesting is we joked about it, but in her normal run of things, right? Sophie, from experience, knows that, you know, I normally wake her up in the mornings. It's a bit of a trial to get her up. Slow starter. But once she's up, you know, it's kind of interesting that for me, we get her up, we get her dressed and got on normally, get her downstairs, get her breakfast, get her, you know, it's like every little need of hers, you know, in fact, now she gets out of bed, she just pulls the covers back and she just goes like this, right? With her eyes shut, because she knows that father has her dressing gown. Like, it's just normal for her. She's just like, all right? And then when I get it on her, and she just then goes like this. Because I have to throw over my shoulder like a sack of spuds. There's no way she's walking down the stairs to get her breakfast, right? But now we do, you know, we're so in the rhythm of it, she doesn't even have to ask. It's just what we do. You know, it's kind of funny, and I love it. But you know the thing is, and that's why she says, daddy, daddy. It's just like this. No matter what it is, it's daddy. You know, it's even in the middle of the night, right? I'm going to make a point about this, so stay with me. So even in the morning, doing the most normal and mundane things, you know, do you guys realize that Penny has a medical condition? No? It's okay, I'm allowed to share. What happens is when she goes to bed at night, her her ears stop working. We need to pray about this. Because it's doing my head, and after 22 years of being married to this woman, it's a shocker. So what happens is it's just somewhere past 45 degrees. Doc, you could help us out with this, right? Somewhere just past 45 degrees, they just switch off, right? So the house could be burning down. She probably would hear that, to be fair. But the same with the kids, through the whole of our existence, right? Anything, daddy, right? Her ears may not work, but her elbows are perfect, all right? Boom, like that, all right? You know what I mean? It's just like this big dig. And I'd be like, what? What's going on? I'd say, oh, daddy. Isn't it interesting that whatever the need is with your own kids, they don't wake up in the middle of the night with a monster under the bed and go, father. The first thing when they open their eyes is, daddy. And guess what? Within 30 seconds, 15, 5 minutes, depending. Okay, let's be honest about that. See, as parents, you learn very quickly to differentiate between screams, don't you? There's the scream where you go, they'll be fine. And then there's the scream where you go, ooh, better look at that one. Somebody's lost a limb. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? But mostly in the middle of the night, it's one to get up for. But all she has to do is go, daddy, and daddy's there. I don't care what time of the day it is, what time of the night it is. As soon as I hear daddy, I'm right there by her side. What do you need? What is it that you need? And you know what? I'm completely imperfect and human. I don't get it right all the time. But there's something about me where as soon as I hear that coming from one of my kids, I'm right there. It's not even I'd give the shirt off my back. I would give them whatever you need. It's yours. You get that? And isn't it funny that under law, we have God will look after you. God is your healer. God is your banner. And all of that is true. Then Jesus comes and says, but you know, I'm going to show you everything all wrapped up into one. And I'm going to live in you. And that spirit that lives in you will cry out, not Father, but Dad. And this is the thing I love about a revelation today on Father's Day, all right, of Aleph Bet, the Father, is he brings you into a place of complete protection and complete safety. And whatever the need is, and this is where, you know, when we talk about the names of God, all right, but this is this revelation of Jesus completing the Father, if you like, and showing us completely what he looks like. That is so wonderful and so incredible. And in John 17, 6, it says when Jesus is actually talking to his Father, he says, I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me from out of this world. So here's what Jesus says to you. You know, when he's praying to his Father, you know, this is a bit before he's going to be crucified in John 17. He's on the way to being crucified. This is the last discourse that he has between, you know, he prays for disciples and he prays for the world, and it's this beautiful picture that we have into Jesus, this intimate moment as he's just relating to his own heavenly Father. And he says, I have manifested your name. Now, what name is he talking about? It's not Elohim. It's not Nisi. The fullest revelation of Father, if you think about your own kids, they know you first as Dad. They first you know as Daddy, and everything that Jesus did, you could be many things today. You can be a teacher, a husband, a rugby player, a musician. But you know what? All of those are just attributes which point to a picture of who Daddy is. But what Jesus says here is, I have manifested your name. When you're looking behind, what that means is, I have shown them above all things. Those of you who have given me, that's us, the church. Those of you that you have given to me, I have manifested, shown to them your name, and the name that he uses is Abba. So God wants you to know today, God the Father wants you to know in Jesus, that the first and fullest revelation that you can have today of Jesus in any way is that he is your Father. Do you get that? He's your Father. Whatever need, whatever time, all you have to do is open your mouth and say, Dad, and he is there with abundance to supply for you. Do you get that? Some of us still have the, you know, I think one of the things for me is whenever I just relate to God as healer, as an example, if you think about this, it frames it differently. So it frames even your approach. It's almost like, God, you are the healer and we come to you for healing, right? Have you ever thought about your own kids or what it's like for you in your own house? I'm using kids as an example, and many of us fall short because we understand our own failings when it comes to our children, isn't that right? But your kids don't. You know, it's almost like tomorrow our kids will get up and everything will be done for them. Their clothes will be washed and ironed. Their food will be prepared. And, you know, their packed lunches. You know, if you're working on Thursday, you've probably already organized where they need to be. You know, do you get what I'm saying? It's like this sense of, my kids don't get up and go, today, Daddy, you're my supplier. Will you please supply my packed lunch for lunchtime? All right? It would be madness. I mean, you'd look at them like, did you bang your head, love? What happened? You know, do you know what I mean? They don't come to them and go, oh, I fell. You're my healer. Would you mind giving me a plaster, right? All they know to do is go, Dad, all right? Dad, where's my? How many times a day do you hear that? Where's my? Where did you put my? That's just me talking to Penny. See that woman? Do you know what the thing is? She's marvelous. I'm just getting my own back because I haven't preached here in a couple of weeks. Do you know what? She has this mad thing of tidying stuff, doesn't she, Ben? There's Ben at the back. And then doesn't remember where she's put stuff. And then she has the cheek to complain. All you ever do is ask me where things are. And we go, well, if you'd remember where you'd put them, how am I supposed to do that? And she said to me last night, getting really stressed, in the heat of the moment, how am I supposed to remember these things? I went, put a nap. Oh, no, don't put a nap on your phone. There was me coming with a solution, okay? Put a nap on your phone and just... And it wasn't actually about finding a solution. It was just about giving off. It was very funny. But it's funny that in those, well, it wasn't funny, we got over it. But the thing is, right, because we're all standing stressed out going, where have you hidden the car keys, love? Where have you hidden them? I can't go anywhere. I love that woman. But you know what's interesting about us? You know, we don't have to differentiate all of our needs with a God who just reveals his name in those. We just need to see Jesus in his fullness. Because in the same way that you, for your own kids, every day this week, you've already gone there, haven't you? And figured out what they needed. And you don't? Or your grandkids or whatever. Don't you kind of, you're thinking in front to do what? To put them into harm's way? No. Any day this week, your kids are in trouble. What are you going to do? You're going to rescue them, right? You're going to provide for them. You're going to love them. When they fall, you're going to pick them up. You're not going to leave them to Wednesday, right? To go, no lunch today. Let's see how they get on. When they come home starving at night, you go, well, you're not getting your tea tonight. You know what? You just have to wait tomorrow because I'm teaching you something. Right? When they fall over, you don't leave them and just go, well, what did you learn? What's the first thing you do when your kid's crying because they've hit themselves? Do you sit down and go, well, I am your healer, but what am I trying to just teach you right now? What did you learn about yourself and how I am as a father through falling and hurting yourself? Have you ever, isn't it nonsense when we put it into that context? But many of us approach the Lord like that still. And he says today, on all the days of the year, look at me, look at Jesus. And when you see me as healer, restorer, provider, I am Father in flesh, if you like. If you want to know what God is like, just look at the way that I behaved with everyone, and that's how I behave with you. I never made them sick. I never saw them go without. I was always in front. Even in storms, he said, I'll see you on the other side, right? He was already in front. I don't know exactly what my kids need this week. My wife does because she's awesome, right? But as a unit in our house, what I love is that my kids grow up just going, do you know what? If we need it, it's going to be there. If we need it, it's going to be there. So in the same way that Soph doesn't get it, I'm not saying this is like a party political broadcast for my own family because we're half mental half the time. Do you know what I mean? Just like every other family. But what I'm trying to say is that growing up in an environment, do you know what's interesting? The kids grow up young and they just have a total expectation that this is what it's like. Isn't that right? A complete and total expectation that I'm looked after, provided for, and safe. And all it takes is the word dad to come out of my mouth. And I know that whatever is his is now mine. Yeah. Isn't that a beautiful revelation for your life? Isn't that a beautiful revelation of Jesus? And Jesus doesn't come and say, healer. He just does by demonstration. And then he says, if you want to see the Father, you've seen me. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Before anything else, he is Father. In John 17, 11, 12, I was reading that this week. It's just a beautiful bit of looking at Jesus as he relates to his own dad. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world and I come to you. He says, Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given me that I may be one as we are, that they may be one as we are. Okay? This one, to keep through your name, what it means is to guard, keep them, spiritually watch over them, keep them intact and protect them. So actually the heart of Jesus when he's relating to his Father is, see you and me, he's talking about you and me there, all right? Not somebody else. Put your hand on your heart right now, okay? He's talking to you this morning and he says, I will guard you, watch you, keep you intact, I'll protect you, I'll maintain you, and I will look after you through this name, Dad. You don't need to worry about a thing. You don't need to worry about one thing. Isn't it lovely? Absolutely love it. I was actually just going to read here because I think, you know, we live with a God who's far too small. Let me just get my Bible open. I promise you I'm not on Facebook. Let me read Psalm 23 to you. God, my shepherd. This is from the Message version. I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from, true to your word, and let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You receive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God, okay, under strength and authority for the rest of my life. I love this because it reveals Father to us in lots of different ways. He says, I shall not be in want. Lack and poverty don't correspond with that verse, do they? Lack and poverty don't compute in a father's mind. Isn't it interesting when you see that in us there's something that fights, particularly for those in our families and those in our kids, we fight to make sure that they don't have lack and they don't decrease. You know, I am absolutely heart set on grace upon grace in my own family. So whatever the Lord blesses us with, I want my kids to go way further. Do you know that? And my job as a dad is to make sure that they go further. And I'm going to do everything that I can for that. I'm saying, as the Lord blesses me, I'm saying, Lord, but it's grace upon grace through the generations, glory to glory. And that's what he says. I'll not be in want. Now, in my house, under my roof, my strength, God's strength and God's authority, neither will they. My cup runs over. Just think about that. Why does God not know when to stop when your cup's full? Why does he not stop at the top? Why doesn't he say, look, that's enough? My cup runs over. Do you realize you have a father that, you know, he gives you not just the cup, but he pours it so much into it that it overflows and blesses way beyond that what you actually need? It's not decrease. That's not challenging. That's not challenging us to live smaller. That's a big, big God. There's much I was going to say, but I just want to finish by saying this one thing. In Luke chapter 15, you read the story of the prodigal son. And I want to just speak very quickly some grace to the dads in here, because any of us who have done it, it's a tough, tough job. It's not easy. And the more that we can see a revelation of Jesus being our father, and us coming under his authority and his strength in his house, okay, we will see that in our own houses. But we often think that the story of the prodigal is about the prodigal. It's not. It's a story about the father. It's not a story about the prodigal. It's about the heart of the father towards those who go amiss. And what I absolutely love, if we take ourselves here, it's almost like I get the sense of, it's good to know that you have a dad who's, you know, my dad's bigger than whatever's going on. Remember that? When you were playing out in the streets, maybe you were all too posh, but when I grew up in the hood, in the ghetto, you know, there's always this thing. What are you laughing at? Seriously. In the ghetto, right? About, you know, my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad'll knock your dad's melting, all right? And all that sort of stuff. And that's true. And it's hard to believe it now, but, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I find it really hard. But, and, you know... And my dad's not a fighter either. He was a soldier, but he wasn't a fighter. You know, I remember him telling me the story. We used to live in East Germany on the border with what was East Germany. And I remember him telling me the story. They lived in a listening post. So they used to, he was a spy kind of guy. He used to spy on the Russians and the East Germans. But I remember his absolute surprise. He told me this story. Like, here's a soldier. And this is what has defended us for years. He said, like, and then the Americans came. They had to share this listening post with the Americans. He said, you know what? They had guns and ammunition and everything. And I was like, what the heck were you going to defend us with? Russians? No, he went, oh, no, but we had guns, but they never give us ammunition. This is the army. I was like, Dad, are you for real? He went, oh, why? He says, I don't know whether they trusted it or not. Very funny. He said, we didn't really need it because nobody could see us. And I'm going, but that's not the point. Anyway, that's funny, really funny. But there's this thing, right, of knowing as a dad, there's grace for dads. And there's one wee bit of the story in the prodigal, right, where he comes back. Now, think about the heart of the father here. And the prodigal comes back, and it's not even about him throwing open the feast. There's one little detail that the Lord reminded me of this week, and dads, here's grace for you. One of the things that the father does is he puts a ring, right, onto his son's finger, and it's a ring which is a seal, and it's a ring of authority. Now, what that meant, remember the son went wayward. He went off the reservation. He went off piste. And he made a complete mess around money. That's what it was about. And he made a complete and utter horlicks of it. He blew it all, wished his father was dead. And then what does the father do? See, I never look at the son and what he does. I look at what the father and how he responds. Do everyone know what the ring means? If you had a ring on your finger, I've preached this, so I hope you do, okay? But this is the grace that the Lord shows for dads, because this is what he does for you. Every time, in the very area that you have messed up in, what he does is when you come to him, he gives you authority again to actually transact in the area where you failed. Let me say that again. I know as a dad, most of the times we can feel like failures because it's hard. And we feel like, you know, I'm not just talking about the, you know, sometimes kids have a way, don't they, of making you feel like you're just not cutting it. Too harsh. We all love them, but some of it can be hard work, right? Oh, yous are all looking at me like you live in the flippin' Waltons. Oh, no, we get up and sing Chris Tomlin songs, wash poor people every morning, and then, you know, we give our tithes and offerings to the beggars on the streets, and then we go to school. Well, good for you, all right? In my house, it's not like that. But what I love is this, is every day, right, when you come, even if you know that you have failed at times and you weren't the dad that you wanted to be, even at the times where you maybe look back and the enemy has a little hook for you to go, do you know what? You should have done that better. Because many of us will probably think, if I could go back and do that again differently, what would I do? Have you ever said that? Even to the mums here, that's Father's Day, but this is a word for parents. When you come to the Lord as Father revealed, this whole thing in Luke 15 is about the Father revealed and the grace of the Father. What he does is he says, my grace is bigger than your mistake. My grace is bigger than your mess. And in this is what I love, where the law disqualifies you and says, you are guilty and you got it wrong there. And the world will disqualify you and say, you can never do it again. Or you need to be supervised, or you need to be watched, or this is a deficit. The Lord steps right into there and goes, hey, put my ring on your finger. Because what that means is, okay, that you can transact business. In the story, with the ring, that kid could go back in and spend his father's money again and put the seal on it. He had the full authority of the father to use everything that was at the father's, everything that the father's was now his, right? And you would think to yourself, is he mad? Is he bonkers? I mean, this kid has blown it. At times we feel like we've blown it, right? And Father's Day, we can go, brilliant. And I know there's always something in the back of my head going, I wish I was better at this. You know, I really wish I was better, but I'm not. I'm doing my best with what God's given me. And the Lord says, hey, lift your head up. You haven't got a big revelation of me. It's your Father. Because my grace, you're under my authority and my strength in my house. Everything that you need is there for you. And my grace is bigger than your mistake. Do you believe that? Do you believe that right now, because I have... See, the Lord doesn't change the order just because we get it wrong. He says, believe in the order. He says, believe in the order of what God has ordained. And he says, under there, there's strength, there's authority, there's protection, there's provision. And he doesn't change that because we get it wrong. He says, come to me and find grace for your mistakes. Because you, under your wee bit, might have got it wrong, but you're under mine. And under here, you're perfectly safe. Does that make sense? So dads today, can I just say this? Whatever you're thinking, and you're going, I love that there's grace for us all to look and to receive that ring of authority again. The ring was about authority. I have my Father's authority. So whatever the mistakes have been of yesterday, let them go. And today, just get a revelation of Jesus as your Father. And know that when you stand in this right order of things, that whenever you go to transact, okay, to do, then you have all of God's grace at your disposal. Isn't that lovely? We need fathers. For those of you who are getting older, we need not just physical fathers, but we need spiritual fathers. How are we going to reach this? You know, how are we going to reach a nation that's, you know, so many more kids are growing up outside of the home? How are we going to reach them? And you know, because I'll say it again, unequivocally, God has ordained fathers for strength, authority, direction, and protection. And he has not changed his mind. Amen?